The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, October 14th, 2012, if you're listening live. And it's your now, if you're listening to the recording. Welcome aboard. I am happy to be here today with you as the leaves continue their march into fall colors here in New England. It is quite wonderful thing. All we need is a little more sun to make it sparkle more. But I am so glad to be with you today. As we get started, as always, let's make those connections. So first off, the most important connection of all is within. So open to your own divinity, your own mastery, your own soul, oversoul, higher self, I am presence, Christ consciousness, pick your term, any term, but the key is the opening. It's that intention to allow yourself to receive that higher aspect of yourself. And that choice is not always an easy choice to make because it goes up against our core experience that we're separate from divinity, that we're separate from each other, that we're separate from everything. And so making this choice is an act of courage because it's choosing to step through all the experiences you have in life that have said you're not good enough, all the experiences in life that have said you are alone. And so as we make this choice, give yourself a little pat on the back for having the courage to step through the core delusion, the core illusion that we have, which is that we're separate, that we're less than. And so just breathe with that. Breathe into that connection. Breathe into your power. Breathe into your light. Or perhaps to be more precise, breathe that out. Allowing that to come up out of the box inside ourselves that we lock it up in. And let it fill you. Your physical, your mental, your emotional, your entire energy field. Let it just fill you. And feel perhaps tension releasing as you do that. And feel perhaps the push to do releasing as you breathe into it. Feel relaxation happening, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. Because this is coming home. It's coming into the truth of who we are. Wonderful. And let's take the next step and connect more fully, consciously with our Mother Earth. And in this way, open in the way that best serves you. through your feet, the chakras in the feet, through your root chakra, through the cells of your skin, through every cell in your body, whatever way works best for you. Allow yourself to open to receiving the energy of the Mother Earth, receiving that energy that's always there, but that we don't always connect with. And allow that to fill you. And specifically, consciously, if you will, the way to think about it or open to it is perhaps the energy of support and the energy of love, that energy of loving acceptance that you are already perfect, you're already divine. There's nothing you need to do to be better, to prove yourself. But you do have the opportunity to allow yourself to be more present. And that's what you're doing here, opening up to receive that love and support. And allow, as always, whatever gratitude might come up to flow back out of you into our Mother Earth. Allow your own love, whatever aspects of love of life that you love, allow that love to be shared. Because that can happen only because our Mother Earth is here giving us a place to call home and a dimension that allows us to be in these physical bodies. And so allow your love and gratitude to flow out to her, and as well connect with any intentions on your part where you would actively support her. Now, not that she needs it. She's doing just fine. But any way that you would like to give back to her, just allow that to flow out as well. And as you allow your gratitude and your love and your support to flow back, you make more space inside of you to receive that love and support that she's offering. It opens up more space inside of you to connect with your own divinity more fully. So allow yourself to feel that expansion to whatever degree you can in this moment. All right, let's move forward again. And this time it's about connecting with our support that's not in the physical dimension, our support that comes from the angels, the ascended masters, our other spirit guides, our brothers and sisters of light, if you will, who are here supporting each one of us in whatever we're doing in this body, whatever we're doing in this lifetime, and specifically, additionally, supporting us in this path of awakening into our divinity, in this path of reconnecting more consciously to our divinity, of embodying our mastery and expressing it more fully. And so we open in whatever way works individually. Some will open the heart. Some will open in their power center, the solar plexus. Some will open through the third eye or the crown. Some will open in other ways, whatever works best for you, to allow their love and support to come in, that acceptance of who we are and that support for what we're doing. And just again, allow yourself to breathe that in and through you. Let it fill you on all levels, the physical, the emotional, the mental, and throughout your energetic being, throughout all of you. Allow that to flow as freely as you can to help you expand in this awakening. And once more, allow your gratitude to flow back. Allow your gratitude to flow back to these beings who are supporting us, and allow your love to flow to them, that love that you feel. And again, any degree to which you would support their activities, open to doing that which helps us all move forward, and allow that to flow out of you as well. And again, as you allow these three things, gratitude, love, and that energy of support to flow to them, you are opening more space within you to receive what they are offering, to receive what our Mother Earth is offering, and to receive your own divinity into greater expression. And as we take the next step forward, we move into connection with each other more consciously, this community of exposing the masters within, and allow yourself to open to the shared energetic intention that we have to move into mastery, to step into our power, and to come to the place where we are willing to expose that power and share it with the world. And again, as you open to that energy, which as we come together here is magnified, our individual intention to step into mastery is magnified by the shared intention to step into mastery. And so allow yourself to connect with that magnification as it flows into you and through all levels of your being, physical, emotional, mental, and throughout your energetic field. And once more, allow your gratitude to flow back. Allow the clarity of your intention that is now being magnified by the group to flow back into the group. That love, that acceptance of each other as well, to whatever degree you may feel it, let that flow as well. And again, whatever willingness you might have to consciously support each other, allow that to flow. And as we allow those three levels to flow to whatever degree, our gratitude, our love, and our support, we are able to receive more of all of these energies, this shared energy, shared intention, shared community, the energy of the community of our brothers and sisters of light, the energy from our Mother Earth, and indeed our own divine energy is able to express more fully as we open up in these ways. And let's go to the last level that we take here, and that is the connection with all of humanity. And once more, we're connecting with the shared intention. And here, the intention in many is an unconscious intention when it comes to stepping into mastery, but it has its root, it has its seed, if you will, in that intention that all of humanity has for things to be better than they are. And so we're connecting with that mass consciousness of all of humanity for things to improve, for things to be more how we might imagine them to be as divine unfoldment. And we're also connecting specifically, additionally, with the mass consciousness of all the other light workers, whether they will ever join us in this community directly or not. All the other light workers are sharing that intention of stepping into mastery, of stepping into empowerment, of moving forward in that way, becoming expressions of divinity. And so we connect with that as well and allow that shared intention to flow through us more fully, aiding in that awakening. And once more, allow these energies, these shared intentions, both with all humanity and with the light workers, to flow through the physical, the emotional, and the mental levels, and throughout your energy field, expanding your experience and expression. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So let's step into today's topic, which which came up, I won't say suddenly, but it came up perhaps unexpectedly, because it's not something I'm sitting in myself. It's not something I'm dealing with at this particular moment in an extremely conscious way anyway. And it's come to the forefront out of some things that I've been reading lately that are not specifically spiritually focused readings. They're more politically focused things. And so maybe that will make more sense as I come to actually what the topic is that we're going to talk about here today. And the topic is helplessness and its counterpart, hopelessness. And I can't say it necessarily matters a whole lot what I've been reading, although they are books written during the most recent Bush presidency, and they both talk a lot about the ways in which that administration, and again, obviously these are their personal opinions and they resonate with me, but my intention here is not to get into politics directly, but rather to talk about the effect. And what they talk about is largely how particular policies and particular things that were done during that administration created victims. And I certainly don't want to diminish anyone's experience. But when we go into that energy of helplessness, or we're experiencing the energy of hopelessness, and to me they are tied together, because a sense of hopelessness is almost, as far as I'm concerned, the expansion of helplessness to the point where, well, it seems hopeless, to the point where there doesn't seem to be any possibility even for something to change. And that tends to accumulate through time. In some ways, from what I've seen dealing with this kind of thing in my own life, and from what I've seen in working with the people I've worked with, and from knowing a number of people, it touches a lot in that energy of depression, that it's cumulative and it gets worse through time. If there's a sense in a particular area of life that there's nothing to be done that can make it better, and the evidence keeps piling up through experience, then we have diminishing energy. We have a diminishing sense that there is anything we can do. And again, I go back to that term of victim. It's very much tied to that energy of feeling like a victim. And these connections between helplessness and hopelessness and victimhood and depression are very insidious, because they're hard to get out of from within them. So in some ways, it bumps very much up against an idea or a viewpoint that I really hold quite closely to myself, which is that we are the ones who have to make the choices and the changes in our own life. But when we're in that cycle of victimhood, when we're in that pattern, that cycle of helplessness, hopelessness, when we're in the experience of depression, it's hard to even find the energy to begin, because the viewpoint that we're sitting in is that there's nothing we can do. Now, this may be extreme, and you may not be prone at all to any of these things, although I would say most everyone on the planet has patterns of victimhood that they would be served to move out of. And the hopelessness, helplessness, depression end of things, end of that spectrum, is very overwhelming. And so in some ways we might look at it that way, as overwhelming victimhood is experienced as helplessness, hopelessness, and depression. And I find it, well, I always find the English language to be a fascinating thing to look at when we have words with multiple meanings and overlapping jurisdiction. I know that's not an appropriate use of jurisdiction, but overlapping areas that the words touch on. And so when I look at the word depression as itself, yes, it is this mental state. But when we depress something, it's literally being pushed down upon. When we depress the accelerator, it makes the car go faster. And that is this energy. That's what depression is. It is feeling oppressed. It's feeling this weight upon us that we cannot lift off, that we cannot move.
And that's the extreme version of it. But I want to move backwards a little bit to a less extreme version of it. Perhaps when it's not throughout your entire life, but in a particular area of your life. And that is apathy. Apathy to me is close energetically to depression, except it's about a particular area or several particular areas rather than life as a whole. But it's that sense of there's nothing I can do here. It's that sense of helplessness. And it's a protection. It's a mask. Apathy to me is a mask, and it's in some ways the mask that the teenager puts on, using the phrase that has become so popular now, it's a cliche, whatever, when they don't want to talk about something, whatever, when they don't want to hear what you have to say, whatever. It's a dismissal, but it's a dismissal that doesn't come from a place of power, but comes from a place of perception or feeling of powerlessness, of not being able to do anything about it. And why I want to start here or come to apathy is often when we're apathetic in one area, it starts to bleed over into other areas of our life. When we come up against something that is unfair, put it that way, or we come up against something where we're feeling like a victim in another area of our life, apathy tends to spread. Because it is, again, that feeling of, I really can't do anything here. I mean, by definition, perhaps, I wonder what the definition of apathy actually is. Okay, dictionary, what are you doing here? What are you going to tell me? Apathy. Got to get the spelling going here. Apathy, lack of interest or concern. Well, that's pretty much it. I don't care. I don't care. But if we truly didn't care, there wouldn't be enough energy to even be apathetic. It would simply not be in our consciousness. So to me, even the idea that we are apathetic about a certain thing touches in upon that we don't care about a certain thing. That's not the same as indifference, where we really don't care. Apathy to me is where we're pretending that we don't care. If someone is apathetic, that's kind of the image that I have of them. It's they're trying to demonstrate that they don't care rather than that it really doesn't have any meaning for them or any energy for them. So what's the point? What am I trying to get to here today other than talking about philosophy? Well, I think that it is kind of a canary in the coal mine. Apathy is kind of the canary in the coal mine. If we are truly feeling apathetic about something in our lives, then I would say that's a really important thing, number one, to notice, and number two, to take some action about before it spreads. And we start to not care about more and more and more things in our life. Now, this is an interesting area for me because that is something I deal with, apathy, personally. And for me, often apathy is about no energy. It's about lacking energy. It's almost as if the protection is, well, I don't feel or I don't believe I can do anything about this. I don't feel, I don't believe I can change the circumstances here. And so better for me not to apply any energy to it than to apply energy to it and have what I'm attempting to change stay as it is. In other words, apathy for me is very often about fear of failure.
And it's, by all means, tied to that sense of helplessness, that sense of victimhood, where I don't feel like I can actually make a change. But it's a retreat away from it rather than a looking for options. Because in most areas of our life, we can make a change. I would say ultimately in every area of our life, because even when we feel like we can't do anything externally, we can always do something internally. We can always choose to make a change in our inner state of being that is going to change our experience, even if the external does not change. And there are multiple ways to work with that. One of the first is choosing to move the feelings of helplessness, of hopelessness, of apathy. And that doesn't require as much energy as trying to change the entire circumstance. All we're seeking to change to start with is our inner reaction to our circumstances. And that's an important distinction for me. Because if I feel like in order to start out, I have to believe I can change the entire circumstance, that again is a wonderful, wonderful piece of my pattern of apathy. Well, that's just too big to deal with, so I won't deal with any of it. And in reality, and I've seen this in too many ways and too many times to not have this as a pretty core belief on my part, but in reality, that external experience we're having is always a reflection of the inner experience we're having and not the other way around. In other words, our perception, our idea of cause and effect says that, well, I feel unworthy because my fiance left me. I feel unworthy because I got fired from that job, etc. Rather than what is actually true, which is my fiance left me because I didn't feel worthy enough for that relationship, or I got fired from that job because I needed a change, or because I needed a way out, or because I didn't feel good enough for it, etc. And that means that when we take the small steps internally, we can get huge results in what we experience in our lives. And look at that, the sun has just come out. How nice. And that to me is the path of mastery. It's not mastering everything all at once. It's mastering the moment, step by step. Taking the next step, taking the step to deal with what is up in this moment that is in the way of me experiencing life that is empowered. What's up in this moment that is in the way of me experiencing myself as being able to consciously choose the kind of life I'm living. And so I come back to tools that I've talked about perhaps ad nauseum, depending on your tolerance level, but frequently, if you're more generous. And the first of them, the first of the tools, is that tool of acceptance. And again, remember, acceptance, I do not mean by acceptance that we are surrendering into the circumstance and accepting that we're stuck with it forever. That's not what I'm talking about, because that's not what I believe acceptance is. Acceptance, at its core, is the ultimate in pragmatism. It is the ultimate in acknowledging what is in this moment. This is what this moment is for me. This is what I'm experiencing internally. This is what it looks like externally. This is the moment of my life as it is right now. Because that's the only way we can actually change it. If we are trying to ignore some aspect of this moment, then by definition, we can't change that because we're denying it even exists. That which we're denying even exists, we are suppressing from our conscious awareness. And so we're not going to know that we can change it. Because as far as we're concerned, we're putting it out of our mind, putting it out of our emotions. And believe me, I spent most of my life, far more than the first half of it, with some major, major patterns of suppression where I simply ignored things. I didn't even see that they were there. And so there was no way that I could possibly change them. And for me, the tool that really got me onto this path, before I even knew that this was a path, it wasn't like I was doing spiritual work. I was just trying to feel better. Again, going back to that piece about all of humanity having the desire to improve their lives, I was simply looking to feel better. But in order to do that, I had to become more aware of what I was feeling at all. Because I lived my first 25 years mostly numb, mostly suppressing my emotions. Why? Because I didn't believe that I could do anything to change them. I didn't believe I had the power. That was what my program said. And so why hear bad news if there's nothing you can do about it? So it was an extreme experience of apathy. Apathy by ignorance. And the tool that set me on this path was when my first wife, before she was my first wife, just pounded on me over and over and over again, not physically, but verbally, to ask me what I was feeling, to ask me what I was thinking, to break through the shell of numbness and sitting back as the observer without allowing myself much in the way of a conscious experience of what was going on. Having that question repeatedly thrown at me. What are you feeling? I started to ask it myself. And perhaps you think you're very in touch with your emotions. I don't know. I don't know in particular your circumstances. But I would say that most of us, even those who are fairly aware emotionally of what's going on, we also have our patterns of emotion based upon expectations, based upon what we believe, based on past experience, this means, whatever this is, whatever the circumstance is in the moment. And so, yes, having awareness of our emotions is a key, but it's not the only key. And it doesn't unlock the door unless we can bring in this next piece, which for me is something that I wish I had been taught when I was little. And certainly I have not heard, I don't think I've ever heard it or read it elsewhere, period. But when it showed up in the channeling, it really opened things up for me. And that's this, that our emotional body is here to help us make those choices. There is no such thing as a bad or wrong emotion. We can certainly use our emotions to consciously or unconsciously make choices that are not necessarily great to make. But the emotion itself is just a feedback mechanism, and it really only has two settings We're in the polarities, positive and negative emotion. And positive emotion is there to say, okay, this is still good. Keep going. Keep doing this. Do it more. Do it again. And negative emotion is there to say to us, you know what? It's probably time to make a different choice to change this particular circumstance. But because we're not coming from a place of empowerment, and because there are large tracts of many of our lives, large areas of our lives, where we don't feel empowered, where we don't really feel that we have the capacity to change things, certainly not to change them to the degree that we would really like to change them. Maybe we can make small changes, but how can I truly get the life I desire? I don't think that's possible, so I better focus on small incremental shifts. Well, small incremental shifts are better than nothing. But the more we take of those, the more we also have the possibility to open up a wider doorway and say, you know what, I can make these changes. I have made these changes. And so I need to start looking bigger and making larger changes or moving energy in that way. Well, let's go back to the tool. Because this idea of emotions as being a feedback mechanism to get us to make choices, essentially it's just a tool. And you don't kill the messenger, you don't lock up the messenger. But most of us do, because in our culture, emotion is looked upon with suspicion. For those of you who've been accused of being overly emotional, you know what I mean. And that's been used as a way to keep women down, especially. Oh, they're too emotional. They can't think rationally. Well, I got to tell you, I don't want to live in a world that's purely rational. I don't want to live in a world where everyone is Spock. And as that tool, the more we come in contact with it, the more we do connect with what am I feeling in this moment. With that understanding that if what we're feeling is negative, it doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong. It means that we have an opportunity to make it better. We have an opportunity to change something. Then that provides freedom. But the next step beyond that awareness is choosing to move the emotion. Because again, we have this judgment on emotion in general. It's not necessarily a good thing. It's a dangerous thing. It could get us into trouble. And so we tend to suppress it. And I was so good at suppressing it, I wouldn't even have to feel it first. I would just suppress it before it even reached conscious level. And it took me a while to realize I was feeling anything, and then it took me a while to get connected with what that feeling was, and it took me a while to figure out how to do something with it once I had it. But ultimately, once we get the message, either positive or negative, then we don't need that emotion anymore. And so the next level is to make the choice to move the emotion, whatever it is. But it is a choice. And so in the channeling, they've offered this phrase, by all means, if this works for you, great, but feel free to adjust it. I'm choosing to experience and express this emotion. You don't need to say this emotion. You can just say this. That's what I do. I'm choosing to experience and express this in order to release and clear it. In other words, I don't want to hold on to the old emotion. I got the message. Okay, change something. Whew. Now, another part of the traps that we have culturally is that even people who have that awareness don't necessarily feel like they have the power to make changes. And then on top of that, it's when we're most emotional, it's when we're most upset that we're trying the hardest to figure out what to do. But the emotional upset itself gets in the way of the clarity. It gets in the way of what I would call discernment. And so until we do that last step, that step of I choose to experience and express this in order to release and clear it, until we release and clear it in whatever way, writing it, talking it out. It's not a bad thing to talk about how we're feeling if it's negative, if we are in that intention to clear it out. That's what venting is. Some people I know are wonderful at venting. They talk through it, they express all the emotion, and then it's gone. I used to be a little jealous of those people. Because for me, coming out of a very unemotional background and having extreme tools of suppression, it didn't work that way for me. I just kept carrying it around. But that's not the same as what many people do. And I know I've been guilty of this, if that's an appropriate way to say it. Not condemning myself, just observing. I've been guilty of, instead of talking things through to try and clear the energy, I've gone to my friends to get them to agree with me about how crappily that person treated me. Get someone on my side, I can feel a little better then that way. And that's not the same thing, because that's not letting it go. That's trying to hold on to it. And that doesn't work. Well, it works to hold on to it, but it doesn't work to change the circumstances, and it doesn't do what the emotion was coming up to help you do anyway, which is create change. Because as long as we're blaming someone else, we're in that energy of victimhood, which is going to magnify the energy of helplessness, which, if it sticks around long enough, is going to get to the place of hopelessness and depression. And so that pattern is a trap. It's a trap. If I'm feeling blame for anybody else, then I'm giving away my power to make change. I'm giving away my power to make the situation any better. And that's why, you know, I read these books with interest that I started this little exploration with. But I don't want to go live there, because me blaming the Bush administration for the state of my life or the state of the world doesn't help me change either my life or the world. And I find it interesting and perhaps a bit sad how much of politics now on both sides is about blame. It's not about seeking to find the solutions and make changes. It's about blaming the other person so we can get into power, blaming the other party so we can maintain power or recover power or whatever. Well, true power is not about blame at all. Any place that there is blame, there is no power. There may be domination, but that's not true power. True power is the power to choose, the power to change, the power to shift. And so, as we move these energies out, these emotions, as we use that intention or whatever other tools we might to move out the negative emotion, then we can take that next step. But again, apathy, which is the miniature version of helplessness, it's the localized version of helplessness, is, I can only use the word insidious, because it saps the energy of choosing to do anything. So in some ways, these are the most important emotions to work with, to use that intention to clear the energies of apathy, of helplessness, of hopelessness, of depression, of victimhood. And if there is any area of life where you feel any of those things, it's a wonderful place to start. It doesn't take a lot of energy. It does take some. It doesn't take a lot of energy to use that intention. I choose to experience and express this in order to release and clear it. And and to bring that in to apathy or to victimhood or to any emotion at all, you can do that. I choose to experience and express this apathy in order to release and clear it. I choose to experience and express this depression in order to release and clear it. And then just bring the breath to it first. And then do whatever other tool works. I love burn journaling. It's a wonderful tool. But it can be used with physical movement. It can be used with scream therapy. It could be used with simple breath work, just keeping focused on that intention, allowing the breath to move those energies out, whatever it might be. But if there's one thing that might be most useful to those of us on the path of empowerment, to move at the core so that we can get to the place where we can move other things and make more of a difference in our lives and shift more into our power, then I would say this might be it. To clear the sense of victimhood, of helplessness, of hopelessness, of apathy, of depression, these pieces, if we can clear these experiences out, then we are going to access a lot more of our energy to be able to make changes. And that is what this process is about. Exposing the masters within. Well, to get down to that, we have to clear away the opposite of mastery. Well, I don't know if there's an opposite to mastery. We have to clear away what's in the way of our mastery. And these energies, are some of the worst, because they really are the energies that trap us. Because if we don't believe we can do anything, then we can't. If we don't feel that there's anything that we can do, then there isn't anything we can do to make it better. And so I'm going to use this and focus on it more consciously, specifically that apathy piece. And perhaps because it's a little more hidden, I think, not that I haven't rooted out a lot of it, but for me, the victimhood piece, feeling victimized, that's my intention for this coming week. And maybe it would work for you to root some things out that you haven't been able to touch, or that you haven't gotten the change in that you would have liked. And I'm not certainly saying that this is be all and end all, it's going to fix everything. But I really think it gets to places where we spin our wheels, because it is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we feel helpless, we are. If we feel apathetic, we're not going to make any changes. So it's not going to change. So it's not going to get better. So, So I'm resolving to not be less apathetic, but to be more aware of where my apathy is and choose to move it as it shows itself. And if that feels right for you, maybe you'll join me. Anyway, that's the core of what we're here to talk about today. So let's go to the channeling. And as always, just allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning that allows them to come in. Hello, dude. dear ones, this is the Archangel Raphael come to be with you today. Welcome. And what I would bring to you today is less about words than it is about experience. And the experience that I would aid you to focus upon, aid you to step into more fully, is an experience of energized calm. Now, why we bring this to you today is because it has become more and more commonplace among humanity in general that to get things done, to do things, you use the fight or flight response. Now, obviously, the flight response does not get a lot done. But the fight response does. The fight response does. Now, as we say this is not going to make a lot of sense to everyone. So let us go a little bit further. The fight response, in many ways, because it's not typical any longer for humanity, for individual humans, to literally fight. Although there are vicarious versions of that in your sporting events, especially the ones that involve fighting. It is not an accident that right now it is an extremely popular event to have the fighters come in who use mixed martial arts and things like that to beat the crap out of each other. And that there are always many who are willing to sit outside the cage or tune in on the cable channel to watch it. It is the fight response by proxy. And yet, the fight response is often used by individuals to get done what they desire to get done. And so let's put that in a more concrete terminology. Often, and only you can know how often for yourself, but often in general, when someone has been victimized, one of the responses to that victimization, and it does not have to be extreme victimization the way you might think of as rape or a beating or something like that. More often it is much more subtle than that. The response is anger. You can't do that to me. I'll show you. Well, that is using the fight response as a motivator. And many things have been done because of that. But the problem with it, the problem with using that as a tool to accomplish, is that it does have a negative effect on the nervous system. Now, when people talk about someone who is nervous, typically they mean someone who is fearful. But we would say someone who is nervous, who is overexcited in their nervous system. In other words, who has the fight or flight response going, period. Now, in actuality, the fight or flight response is not complete because there is at least one other level of it, which is the freeze response. It is kind of like the deer in the headlights or the rabbit. If I don't move, you can't see me. I'm invisible. And that is another response to this as well. And that is a lot of what was spoken of in the beginning of today, is the freeze response. Now, from an emotional standpoint,
in some ways, the freeze response is the flight response. It's, I'm just going to get away from this because I don't like it. I will get away from it. I will get it out of my conscious awareness. But what it creates is that apathy, that sense of helplessness. I can't do anything to change it. The best I can do, perhaps, is to be ignored rather than picked on, rather than mistreated. So this may resonate for many of you in that sense. But even in the freeze response, just because there is not a lot of movement going on, and there may not even be a lot of conscious awareness, the nervous system is still overexcited. It is still overworking to try and keep things from coming to the surface, for one thing, but to try and keep things in the place that they are rather than getting worse. And so the fight response, as I'll prove it to you, I'll show you, keeps that same overworked nervous system. It may get things done, but that doesn't mean it is healthy for the system. And so let's go back to the ideal state that we were putting in that terminology of energized calm. The calmness is in the energy of, I don't have anything to prove. Neither to myself nor to another. The energy of energized calm comes from the place of knowing your power and knowing your ability and your freedom to choose, to take action, to create, and to change your circumstances. And so what we would do right now with you, to the degree that you are willing, is to take you into that experience of energized calm. And so what we would ask you to do is a little light breathing. Mostly beings ask you for deep breathing, but that's work sometimes. So just allow yourself to lightly touch your consciousness on your breath. That is what we mean by light breathing. And allow yourself to recognize and experience that you are breathing light, not just air. And allow yourself to imagine, even if you cannot feel, but to imagine that light interpenetrating you, going to every cell. Every breath you take is filling each cell with light. And as it is doing so, as the light is going into the cells, what is going out of the cells is perhaps best called agitation or aggravation. Or perhaps more clinically, imbalance or disempowerment. And so just allow yourself to be in this space where you're breathing in the light. And with the light comes balance, and in balance is calmness and empowerment. And as you're doing that, you are also breathing out, releasing and clearing the agitation and the aggravation and the disempowerment and the imbalance. And just be in that space. This is a different space than deep breathing. Not that you cannot or should not breathe deeply while you're breathing lightly. But the most important aspect is that you're letting yourself breathe freely. You're not forcing your breath. you're allowing it. And allow yourself to just feel the calmness spreading within you. And feel the energy underneath it. It's not nervous energy. It's not angry energy. It is empowered energy. It is the energy of empowerment, the energy of choice, the energy of mastery, the energy of creation. And just allow yourself to be with this as long as you like and as frequently as you like. You do not need us to walk you through this every time. And know that you are loved, and know that you are power, and know that you are the primary creator of your experiences. And that you can change any and every experience. That you do not simply and completely love. Namaste, dear friends. Well, thank you to Raphael, and thank you to each of you for co-creating this here today. And the light is quite strong now outside, and that's an interesting reflection of what we just did. So, Doug, you can start those shrines whenever you are able. And each of you, thank you again. And know that I cannot do this without you. You are an integral part. That's what that energy connection is at the beginning, or at least a part of it. Is to join our energies so that I am co-creating what is serving all of us as we walk forward each week. So thank you for sharing your light with me, for sharing your energy, and for helping me to create what comes through. Of course, I am always grateful for your emails, your calls, whatever, letting me know what you like, what you didn't like, what you would like more of. So please feel free to let me know. And I will be back here again next week, same time, same place, same station. And I hope that you'll join me. May you have a wonderful and blessed and empowering week, whatever you may choose to do. Namaste, my friends.